Welcome to the long-awaited big race of the day. The race to see who really is the most perfect person in the world. And here we have a fine field of runners limbering up on the trackside and waiting for the off. In lane one, we have our local vicar, the very reverend and most reverend Dr. Jonathan Stokes.
Jumble sale, don't forget, Saturday at 3 o'clock in aid of church funds.
And next to him in lane two, we have Lady Fotherington Smythe of Posh House, the Beaches, Danbury. A fine young filly with superb breeding, she's heavily fancied. Oh, sorry, heavily fancied is a winner today. And finally, in lane three, we have an outsider. A bit of an unknown. Wayne Etta Slob.
All right, mate.
So the tension mounts as they go to their blocks, ready for the off. Who will be crossing the line and winning the coveted title of the most perfect person in the world?
I'm a vicar. I read my Bible every day. And I pray.
So it's a strong start from his reverence, taking an early lead. But will he be able to keep this up? No, I think that Lady Fotherington Smythe is ready to make a move. Yes, here she goes.
I do meals on wheels.
A good start. And here she goes again.
I give money to charity. And I'm the chair of the Danbury and Little Meadow in a Wheel.
I preach 3 times on a Sunday.
This is turning into a 2-horse race. They're neck and neck, with his reverence winning by a whisker. Oh, what's this, though? A disaster. Lady Fotherington Smythe has dropped her extensive property portfolio and gone back to save it. She's out of the race now, so can anyone catch the Reverend Stokes?
I'm a nice girl. I help animals. I always wash up. And I pre-ordered the Christmas Band-Aid single.
This is incredible. The atmosphere is electric here, as a complete unknown has just overtaken the very reverend, most reverend Dr. Stokes. They'll be dancing in the streets tonight and chums with if she makes it. His reverence looks sick as a parrot as he gathers his energy for a final dash to the line. Oh no, they think it's all over. And it is. The whistle's gone and no one reached the finishing line. What a race. But none of them were quite good enough. In the end, there's no winner for the most perfect person in the world competition.
Too short for this. So, last all-age service, for those of you that were here, we were looking at Paul's journeys and Paul's travels. There's a picture up there to jog your memory of all the different places Paul went. Can anybody remember how far he went? 3.5 times the length of America. It was a little bit under 7,000 miles. And does anybody remember some of the bad things that happened to him while he was travelling? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was beaten. Good. Some of the bad things that happened to him, he was beaten a lot, he was put in prison a lot. Okay, and today's all-age service, we're going to think about why Paul made those journeys and why he was prepared to face beating and prison. Now, there's a lot of reasons why people might make a journey, people might go travelling. Who thinks Paul might have been a tourist? Don't think he might have been a tourist? No. Who thinks Paul might have been a travelling salesperson? Who thinks Paul might have been a talent scout? Okay, no, those are all good reasons to travel, but actually the real reason that Paul made those journeys was because he was spreading Marmite. Okay, he was spreading... Put up your hand if you believe me. No. Okay, all right. He wasn't really spreading Marmite. He was spreading a message. But that message was a little bit like Marmite. Okay, because it seemed that the people who heard it either loved it or hated it. Those who loved it became followers of Jesus. And those who hated it mostly beat Paul up and threw him in prison. We can know about Paul's message that he was spreading because he wrote a lot of letters to the people that he met along the way. So we're just going to look briefly at part of a letter that he wrote to the people in Rome. I'm going to read from Romans. But now God's way of putting people right with himself has been revealed. It has nothing to do with law, even though the law of Moses and the prophets gave their witness to it. God puts people right through faith in Jesus Christ. God does this to all who believe in Christ, because there's no difference at all. Everyone has sinned and is far away from God's saving presence. But by the free gift of God's grace, all are put right with him through Christ Jesus, who sets them free. Can I have a show of hands of anyone who has seen the 1951 movie The Day the Earth Stood Still? As I expected. Okay, I'm six. I think even fewer people will have seen the 2008 remake. Has anyone seen the 2008 remake? Oh, a few more people. They've been circling it on TV at the moment. Good, hands down. Now, the plot of this film is that an alien race come to visit Earth. And they say that they've come in peace. And they've come to protect the Earth against its greatest threat. But over the course of the film, it turns out that the greatest threat to Earth is humans. And the aliens have actually come to destroy us all. Okay, it's all right in the end. It's not a great film, I'll be honest, but it does make a good point. An awful lot of the world's problems are caused by people. The wars and the conflicts that we see in the news are caused by people. Terrorist attacks are caused by people. The financial crisis was caused by banks, but banks are run by people. Flooding is caused by climate change, but climate change is affected by people. Now, I don't want to do people down too much, because I am one, and looking around, I think most of you are as well. People have the potential to do great things, but people have gone wrong. We see it when we turn on the news every day. We also see it in our daily lives. We see anger, pride, jealousy, self-doubt, and greed. We see it in the people we meet at work and school. But we also see it in our families. And if we're honest, we see it in ourselves. People have gone wrong. And the good news that Paul was spreading is that God has a way of putting people right. Verse 23 tells us that people have gone wrong. Everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But verse 24 tells us that people can be put right through Jesus. Paul's message is this: you are broken, but you can be fixed. As I said before, Paul's message is a bit like Marmite. And a lot of people that heard it didn't like it. And a lot of people that hear it today don't like it, because nobody likes to hear that they're broken. But if we don't accept that we're broken, we can't be fixed. So, how are we supposed to get fixed? Let me tell you one of the most common mistakes that people make about the Christian faith is people think it's all about following rules. If you do good things, you'll get rewarded, and if you do bad things, you'll get punished. Actually, that's the message of pretty much every religion and philosophy and worldview except for Christianity. Because Paul tells us here that getting right with God is nothing to do with following rules. Can you see that? Okay, yeah. It's nothing to do with following rules. And that's what John's drama was all about. We can't earn our way or work our way towards God. We can't get right with God by following rules because we are just too broken to follow them properly. No, we don't get fixed by following rules. We get fixed by putting our trust in Jesus. Now, be honest, put up your hand if you really like asking for help. Who really likes asking for help? Few people. Who really likes admitting when they can't do something? Anyone? Few children are probably more used to it. As grown-ups, we don't like to do it so much. does anyone ever break or ruin something because they refused to admit they needed help? Anyone ever do that? Very honest. Okay, I'm going to show you a picture. It's a picture of my kitchen. You can clearly see the drawer that I fixed. I fixed it last week. It was ever so slightly wobbly, so I fixed it. And the thing is, not only did I not allow Tim to help me, because I could do it by myself, I went further. I point blank refused to let Tim near it because I knew that he would probably break it. Okay, so yeah, everyone's laughing right now except for one person. Sitting over there. So yeah, that's my drawer. And the truth is, we don't like to admit that we can't do something. And a lot of people hated Paul's message because they just couldn't admit that they needed help. Mostly, we like to think that we can achieve anything if we put our mind to it. But here's one thing that not one person here can achieve. You can't go a whole day without sinning. If you don't believe me, try it for the rest of today. No arguing with your brother or sister. No being rude to your parents. No snapping at your children or ignoring your family because you just want a bit of peace and quiet. No lies. No selfishness. No hurtful words. No cruel thoughts. In another part of Paul's letter, he says these words. He says, I know that good doesn't live in me, in my human nature, because even though the desire to do good is in me, I'm not able to do it. I don't do the good I want to do. Instead, I do the evil that I don't want to do. I wonder if anyone here has ever felt like that. I know I have, and not just over the broken kitchen drawer. I need Jesus because I'm not the person that I want to be. And I can't fix it. Paul didn't just offend people by what he said. He offended people by who he said it to. Because in verse 25, it says that all are put right. Lots of people in the time that Paul was writing that felt that the message of God, this good news, was just meant for Jewish people. Because the Jews have been God's chosen people. They had a special relationship with God. They had their own special rules and rituals. But Paul insisted that the message of good news was not just for Jews, it was for everyone. In fact, Paul is often called the minister to the Gentiles, and Gentiles was their word for non-Jews. He was the minister to the non-Jews. And some Jewish leaders rejected Paul's message, not because of what he said, but because he said it to everyone. Now, obviously, it's very different for us today. We're not like the Jewish leaders. We don't think that we're God's special chosen people. But I wonder if sometimes we do feel that there are some people out there who are beyond help, or perhaps who don't deserve to be helped. If Paul's message is good news, it's got to be for everyone. I can't say, I'm broken and I can be fixed, but you are beyond repair. Some people might seem to be more broken than others, but everybody can be fixed. Now, you might be thinking, that sounds a bit unfair. And to be honest, you'd be right, because if there's one thing we can say about the Christian message, it's that it is not fair. Because fair is when people get what they deserve. Fair is when good people get rewarded and bad people get punished. Okay, this is what fair looks like. But the Christian message is one of grace. Grace is where Jesus gets what we deserve and we get what Jesus deserves. This is what grace looks like. And that's why you often hear people say that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Paul travelled nearly 7,000 miles to deliver that message of grace as far and as wide as he could. As a result, we can sit in church in Chelmsford nearly 2,000 years later and hear that same message today. And just as it was 2,000 years ago, that message today is like Marmite. Most people will either love it or hate it. But we mustn't pretend that everyone will like the Christian message. Let's not try and dress it up as something that it isn't, to try and make it more appealing. Let's be faithful to Paul's message and tell it as it is, knowing that, like Marmite, there are two possible reactions. Those who hate it will want to spit it out. Those who love it will want to spread it.
Let's just take a moment to bow our heads after what we've heard. Just a moment of quiet between ourselves and the Lord Jesus. Father God, we thank you for the message that is in Jesus. Jesus who can fix what is broken. And Lord Jesus, we bring our brokenness before you. We reflect on our brokenness. The people that we are. The person that I am. And we ask you to come on in and to fix this. We invite you, Lord Jesus, to be the centre of all that we do. To lead us and to guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.